You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 22nd. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned as we talk with a guest in this hour who says that in today's world of shop till you drop mentality, parents can encounter materialism by they can counter materialism by fostering a strong self-concept with their children. We will talk about how to avoid materialism in our children coming up in just a few minutes. But first, let me welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's Assistant Director of Talk Programming, Cheryl Gasser. Hello again, Cheryl.
Hi, Joy.
We did very well in our last hour. $6,075 raised, exceeding our $5,000 goal. So thank you so very much if you called in a pledge during the last hour. But guess what? It's another hour.
New hour, new goal. Our goal this hour is $7,500. We want to raise that amount by 9 o'clock. And why do we want to raise that amount? Because we do the overall goal for the drive hour by hour, program by program. And we want to do our part here on the Joy Cardine Show to keep Wisconsin Public Radio going strong. And we can do that with your support. The number to call, 1-800-383-9772. You can also pledge online at WPR.org. And if you want it now, you can get it now this hour only. Our guest, Donna B. Gates' book, I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World, yours for a pledge of $150 or more per year.
This will be interesting, I think. Cheryl, I don't have children, but I do have nieces and nephews, and I know how obsessed they can be with the latest toy that they saw on Saturday morning TV commercials, or even the latest cereal or food product that they might want to purchase. Or my niece now, who's a tween, now she has to have a certain designer label, a certain clothing apparel that's apparently the cool apparel label to have these days. And it's just, boy, that's a minefield, isn't it? And you're a parent, so you know, you have a son who wants everything that he sees on TV, too?
He really does. You know, he only watches a little bit of television. We try to navigate. We try to give the other things that Donna B. Gates mentions in her book, meaningful relationships. And interest in things that have nothing to do with, you know, with materialism and consumerism. But he still, you know, he wants it, and he wants it now. And don't you want me to be happy, Mommy? Why won't you buy this for me? And it's really a difficult thing, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle. You're definitely going to want to stay tuned and listen this hour to see what it is. I'm interested. What is it that I can do? It sounds like it is a tough, difficult thing to master, but something that's just certainly important for our kids and ourselves. And I think that the guest this hour is going to say, watch what you do and what you teach your children.
Yeah, and you might want to pick up on some of her suggestions when it comes to the next birthday party that you host for your child. We'll talk about some ideas that you might want to employ. But right now, what we hope you will do is go to the phone, call 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, and make a pledge, a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, because this is listener-supported radio that counts on contributions from listeners like you to pay the bills, to pay for the programming that you hear. If you pledge $150, I should say when you pledge $150 a year or more, we will send you a copy of this book, I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. And you'll also, at that $150 a year level, get the member benefit card. So two great thank you gifts for your pledge of $150 a year or more to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-383-9772 or on the web at WPR.org.
And the member benefit card entitling you to 2-for-1 entrees around the state of Wisconsin. When you go out to eat with a friend or family member, you pay for your entree and theirs is free. This is good all over the state. It also gives you 2-for-1 admission to cultural events like theater and symphonies around the state once again with your benefit, your member benefit card. 1-800-383-9772. It's quick and it's easy. It takes about 2 or 3 minutes to give the information to the volunteer, let them know how much you'd like to contribute and how you'd like to pay for it, and you're on your way becoming a member supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, you decide how much to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, too. We have no specific set levels. You're a member at any amount, no matter the size of the pledge. Some people choose to, you know, $50. Some people choose $500. Some people choose $5,000. You find the amount that is right for you, and please call in at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Our goal this hour, $7,500. $7,500 is the amount that we need to raise this hour to stay on track during this pledge drive and to raise the amount of money and listener support that we need to bring you this program, all of the programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. So far, Cheryl, $625 raised toward that $7,500 goal.
To a good start. We'll be talking with our guest in just a few minutes here. We know you want to be able to listen to the program, so go to the phone now or to the web. Make your pledge. Pledge your support to Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, or 1-800-383-9772. And we want to let you know about something special that's coming up on June 30th. We are doing a cruise of ideas. It's a cruise in Madison here on Lake Monona with Joy and Larry Mueller, Gene Faraca. I'll be there. And if you pledge at the $1,200 a year level, $100 or more per month, you'll get a pair of tickets, two tickets to the cruise of ideas. A couple hours cruising around on the lake, talking, drinking, eating, and then we'll go back to Larry Mueller's house for some wonderful desserts. And if you want to call in a pledge now of support for $1,200, those tickets will be yours. We only have 25 pairs, so tickets are limited, and we certainly would love to see you out on the lake on the 30th of June. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
Of course, that is just a thank you for a very generous pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You will make a pledge of $100 a month or more because you value this service. You think this is an important part of Wisconsin, this statewide service, dual service all over the state of Wisconsin, where you can hear the latest in current affairs, in politics. You can get great advice on raising children, like we will this hour with the author of I Want It Now. You get great information on improving education in this state and this country, improving our health, improving the environment. You hear all sorts of topics, all sorts of important issues, issues that are important to you and to all of us. And you want to keep this kind of discussion going. 1-800-383-9772. Pledge any amount to Wisconsin Public Radio to become a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledge $150 or more a year, and we will send you the book, I Want It Now, if you want it now, and also the member benefit card.
1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. I hope, Joy, that our guest this hour would say it would be good, setting a good example for kids to not just spend your money on things, on toys and clothes and cars and the like, but maybe contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, support something that you value, something that brings meaning to your life, that educates and entertains you. The number to call again, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge online. It's safe and secure at WPR.org.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate your help, and we will hear from you a little bit later. Cheryl Gasser, who helps produce programs for this hour and for all of our shows, our talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio. Cheryl Gasser, Leo Duran, Karen Prager, Carmen Jackson, Rita Thomas, and many others look for the very, very best guests to talk with you about interesting and important topics like materialism and consumerism and how parents can raise children in a materialistic world. Again, the number to make a pledge, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or on the web at WPR.org. More than $900, $915 raised so far toward the $7,500 goal that we have for this hour. Thank you so very much. Now, let me give you another number. And especially if you're a parent or a grandparent or for that matter, an aunt or an uncle. I'm an aunt, and I'm concerned about consumerism and materialism in my nieces and nephews. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a thought about this, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let me welcome our guest. Donna B. Gates is an adjunct faculty member in the Child and Adolescent Development Department at San Jose State University. She is the author of I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Why is this important? Why is it important that parents worry about materialism in children?
Well, I think it's important, number one, because both parents and children are completely surrounded 24/7 by consumerism and by materialistic attitudes. And in fact, as I write in the book, it's everywhere, even in bathroom stalls.
Yeah.
And I think it's important because it really does have an impact on children's development. The research shows that it affects children's emotional health and it affects their social development as well. And I think that's why we really need to be paying attention to it.
You're right. It is everywhere because we just heard Cheryl Gasser, who severely limits her son's TV intake, yet he still wants this and wants this, and he wants it now.
Yes. I heard that point, and I thought it was a really good one because parents can do, there are a lot of things that parents can do, and limiting TV and teaching children about advertising is one of them. But the reality is it's not, obviously kids don't just learn about materialism at home. They learn it out in the wider world as well. So it really is quite a prevailing force.
Yeah. Well, let's say let's talk a little bit about, limit TV, but the ad comes on. You do suggest something you might want to do with your children once that ad comes on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's under the larger idea of teaching children to be very literate about media. But in the course of writing the book, I talked with lots of parents about things that they did as well. And, for example, one idea is called, What Are They Trying to Teach Me Now?
Mm-hmm.
It's the name of the game. And so when kids are watching television and the commercial comes on, what the parent would do is mute the TV and have her daughters try to guess what the advertisement was trying to sell, because as we know, it's not always obvious. And I thought, what a great idea, because number one, it was fun for the kids. It's not as though you're lecturing them about, you know, the evils of advertising. And it was really helpful in terms of teaching them about how advertising works. And so I think it did a really good job of increasing their literacy about media.
Let me remind listeners, we are talking with Donna B. Gates. She is author of I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you would like to talk with Donna B. Gates. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 20 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday morning, February the 22nd, 20 minutes past 8 o'clock. The pledge drive number, by the way, is 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or you can pledge on the web at wpr.org. Pledge any amount to help pay for the programming that you value, programs like this one. Pledge $150 a year or more, and we will send you our guest's book, I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. Plus, we'll also automatically throw in the member benefit card, which entitles you to the 2-for-1 entrees at all the participating restaurants around the state of Wisconsin. We have raised just over $1,040 toward that $7,500 goal this hour. Thank you so very much. Let's go to the phones and take Brenda in Wauwatosa, our first caller for our guest. Hi, Brenda.
Good morning. I have a comment. I have 2 girls, 7 and 4, who love to read, and I don't want to, you know, raise them as mindless consumers. I'm very happy that I can get the books, either buying them or getting them at the library. However, there's a problem. They recently started getting the American Girl books. I don't know if you're familiar with this product, but it's they're dolls from different historical eras, but they market them because the dolls have a series of books. so it encourages children to read. But when I looked at the books, there's also talks about the dolls' dresses that you can buy for them, their furniture, accessories. It's woven into the stories, so it's not like a commercial. But yet you'll get the catalog, and it'll have some doll dresses from these dolls. And the girls recognize it because they read about them in the books.
Oh, I get it. So this is a popular historical doll. A lot of parents buy this because it's educational, and then the books are educational. But they're tying it into all sorts of other products, and you're in some sort of endless cycle of buying things.
Yes, you know. And the girls don't recognize it because they're excited about the stories. Then they get the catalog, and it's like, oh, Kaya has a little stuffed dog, you know, that I read about. I can get it. And it's very disturbing for me. I feel like it's kind of, underhand, and it's very difficult to deal with that.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think, Donna B. Gates?
Well, I think actually it's pretty common because you also see this with children's programming. For example, cartoons and programs that are focused on kids. A lot of times they'll have internet sites that are companions to the shows. And if you go on the internet, you'll see lots of offers to buy things. And it's really hard for kids when they're young, especially 4, and I think you said 7 and 4 for your kids, because they haven't really even learned about commercials or, you know, what the intent of commercials are, that they're to sell products and so forth. So I think this is a decision point for parents and for you, Brenda, which is, where do we draw the line? Where are we going to set limits? You know, some parents would say, okay, we're not going to allow them to use any of these products or watch any television. We're going to cut that off completely. Whereas other parents will say a little bit is okay. But I think that if you expose them to a little bit, then what needs to go along with that is increasing their awareness and understanding of what those advertisements and catalogs are meant to do. So they should understand that, yeah, this is a great story and it's fun, but look, they're also trying to sell us things, and how are they trying to do this and so forth. So, you know, if they are going to be exposed to this kind of material, then they, you know, this is a great opportunity. You could look at it in that way to teach them more about advertising and commercialism.
Yeah. I was recently, one of my nieces had a birthday. She's 6, and actually she's a great niece. And she, I just purchased a little, I just kind of grabbed it off the shelf. I didn't even know really, it just looked like something she would enjoy doing, some kind of product called Floam, where you can mold it into various creations of art. You know, I thought it was a crafty thing that might be. And when she got this thing, she was so excited. Her mom told me that she has been bugging her for months and months and months that she wanted Floam. She knew the jingle that was on television for this particular product. She knew the various colors. She knew everything about this particular product. And then I felt guilty. It was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was happy that I gave her something that she wanted, but it was also something that I guess mom had been resisting getting her, and then she got it for her birthday instead.
Oh, oops.
Yeah. Well, but you had some suggestions on what to do, especially if you're hosting a birthday party for your child.
Yeah, and actually to kind of follow along with your example, not just birthdays, but let's say Christmas, you know, or any kind of holiday which involves lots of gifts, is I think parents can request of relatives things that kids will really like, or, you know, age-appropriate kinds of things that their kids would like, so that they're not getting a lot of stuff that they don't want their kids to use or that their kids won't use. But along the lines of birthday parties, one parent, for example, had a giftless birthday. Now, I know this sounds cruel and unusual, but it really was effective because this was her child's classroom birthday party. So her son invited all of his classmates to the party, and she just said on the invitation, please, no gifts. But what she did request was that they bring gifts for animals, rescue animals, because this was a passion of her son. So they brought things like, you know, bones and leashes and dog bowls and things like that that dogs could use. They made up a gift basket. They went down to the shelter, she and her son, and presented this as a gift. Her son loved it. So it was really, there were gifts, and it was really tying into something that her son was passionate about. So she was really nurturing that. And then he had the regular birthday party, you know, with gifts from relatives as well. So I thought this was a really nice way to compromise and not have this huge pile of gifts, which, you know, as a lot of parents know, you get this phenomenon where kids are just opening the presents, throwing them onto the pile and looking for what's next and not really appreciating what they're receiving.
Yeah, and this boy that had the giftless party was pleased, was happy, didn't feel deprived?
He didn't feel deprived, although, to be fair, he did. The mom said a few weeks later, he said, you know, I didn't really get as many gifts as other kids got, did I?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is realistic because this is what parents are going to have to deal with. And she said, no, not at this party, but let's talk about the things that you did get. And so they talked about it, and he was fine with it. And she was so nervous about the next year that he would say, Mom, please don't do that again. Please let's not have a giftless birthday. But he didn't. And she went ahead and did it, and it was successful. So I think what initially feels like, oh, my gosh, I could never do this with my kids, it would be just too cruel, really worked out beautifully.
Yeah. I'll have to admit that even though I grew up in a slightly different era here, mm-hmm. I do recall getting gifts like books and socks and oranges and things like that.
Yes, I got oranges as well.
And I have to, it was like, oh, well, yippee, another book, you know. So you think that kids, though, can appreciate those types of gifts as opposed to the latest computer game?
Well, I want to back up because I'm not suggesting that parents all of a sudden do not buy, you know, things that kids want.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is that we really want to avoid kids developing the attitude that, number one, my parents must really love me because they bought me a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And also the feeling that certain material items are what's going to be the thing that makes them happy. So I'm really talking about balance and avoiding kind of developing a materialistic attitude because it is associated with things like depression and anxiety and, you know, feeling kind of a lack of satisfaction with life. So, you know, I just want to make sure that parents understand I'm not saying no more PlayStations or, mm-hmm. you know, things that kids really want, but really examining why do they want them. Is this something that's going to be a special kind of appreciated gift? Or are kids really wanting things in order to fill an emotional need?
Yeah. Why do you think my niece wants a particular type of clothing? I don't even remember it. Hollister or something. It's got an H on it. And that's, I guess, something cool at her middle school. Why does she want that?
Well, I think you mentioned that your niece was a tween.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things I talk about in the book is that, you know, there are lots of different reasons that we turn to materialism, right? And for kids who are tweens and teenagers, one of the things they really want to do is fit in. And so that may be the Hollister jeans, you know, mm-hmm. it could be, you know, I talked to parents, there are Birkenstocks and so forth. And the reality is that some of that is important. A parent was telling me that she bought jeans that were from Target. I think that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she told her friends, look, I got these jeans. Look what my mom got me. She got me these jeans from Target. And her friend's reaction was, your mom shops at Target?
Oh, no.
You know, and yeah. So initially, again, you mm-hmm. could imagine back, you know, mm-hmm. being a teenager, how devastating that can feel. But her mom talked with her about it and what that meant in terms of, are those the kind of friends you want? And why do you think it would be so important? Does it really make a difference to have expensive jeans and so forth? And they talked it through. So it is a reality, but I do think that if kids work on raising kids who are able to think critically, to be independent and autonomous, they can avoid some of that feeling that they need to conform and fit in with every little thing.
Our number, if you would like to talk with Donna B. Gates, who is the author of I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World, about what you might do to counter all the consumerism and materialism in the world today, especially when it comes to your kids or grandkids or any young person in your life, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Arlene in Manitowoc is with us. Hi, Arlene.
Hi. I have a question. I have an 11-year-old daughter that on her last birthday, most of our friends and relatives had gave her money. She ended up with just about $250 in cash.
Hmm.
And I was really upset. Not that I value things, but I thought that it just didn't seem right to me that they would give her money.
That's a lot of cash to pick up.
It was, and that's not counting gift cards. And I just, you know, we had a battle with her because she didn't want to put it on her savings account, and you know, we had to compromise as far as what to do with the money, and it just seemed like such a huge load for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to make her understand that, you know, it just didn't feel right.
She wanted to spend it on something, just waste it on stuff, you thought, Arlene.
Right. Yeah. She just wanted to go to the store and just, you know, away with it.
And I'm sure she said, it's my money.
Right.
Yeah.
It's my birthday, it's my money, and I, you know, what can I do? I mean, her birthday is coming again, and I just want to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, and it's against the law to open her mail, right? Donna P. Gates?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, is you might do some kind of proactive, you know, kind of things like requesting relatives and people that generally send her gifts to say that this is what we would prefer, we don't want cash and so forth. But I also was thinking, like the first parent I mentioned, but I also was thinking, well, she's 11, and so you know, one thing that you could consider is saying we're putting this in savings, or we're putting a certain percentage of it in savings. You could use that as a great opportunity to start teaching her about how to save money and how to prioritize and so forth. And one of the reasons I bring up this issue is because kids who are even teenagers are getting debit cards and credit cards and so forth. I teach college students, and we've talked about this issue, and a lot of these college students who are in their late teens and early 20s already have credit card debt, which I think is such a shame to start out, you know, your young life already in debt with credit cards. And part of that, they say, is that they never learned about saving money, about how to use credit cards, the concepts of interest charges and so forth. So I certainly think this is something that is critical for parents to start teaching their kids about young. And also the other issue that comes into this is impulse control. One of the reasons that we kind of build up these credit card debt is because, you know, you go to Toys R Us or whatever store, and something looks good, and you buy it. And maybe you get it home, and you think, oh, that's not really as interesting as it was, you know, an hour ago. So it's also an opportunity to teach kids about waiting, about delayed gratification, and impulse control and so forth. So I think you can use it as an opportunity, and I think for saving and so forth. And I also think it's perfectly fine to make requests to relatives and friends about what's appropriate and what's not.
Yeah. And I know my one of my sisters, you know, does have her children saving money. When they say, hey, I want this now, this is the, you know, the gift or the toy or the clothing that I want, and maybe she's not ready to purchase it for them, she'll just say, well, you know, you've got your savings. If you want to buy it, go ahead. And making them make the choice. Do I want to spend my money on this item, or do I want to save it for something else?
Yeah, and I think kids will learn by doing that. Maybe the first time they make a decision that they regret.
Mm-hmm.
But then they learn that, oh, okay, you know, I can't have every single thing I want, so I'm going to have to make a decision and prioritize and decide what's really important to me. And I think that whole process is really important and really useful. I mean, it's okay to make, you know, mistakes. Certainly adults do as well.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Valerie in Madison. Hi, Valerie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a six-year-old boy. He just turned six, and he's already, every time we go to a store, he wants to get a toy. He's mm-hmm. like, that's on his mind immediately, and I'm afraid I'm guilty because I've indulged it a lot more than I should have. And how do I start reversing this when he's just six?
I'm just curious, do you say anything before you go into the store, like we're not buying anything for ourselves today, or yes, it's okay to have a little toy today, or how do you usually handle it?
Well, like if he's out with me on errands and we go in the drugstore, a lot of times I'm not thinking about it until we get there, and he says, can we have a toy?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I say, well, maybe a small one, and then I let him pick something out, but then we've ended up with all these little junky toys all over the place, and he's so focused on it, and that's my fault because I've said yes so much.
Yeah. Well, he's only six, so I think you've got lots of opportunity to reverse that. And I think it's, just little simple things like thinking about it beforehand, what's okay with you on this trip and what's not, and letting him know, and I've talked with parents who did this, and it works just fine after you've done it a while and stuck to it, right? So, okay, we're going shopping. This time we're only buying for, groceries. We're not buying any toys for ourselves today. And so, the first few times he's going to push it, absolutely. So, you have to stick to that. But after a while, he'll have that expectation that if mom says we're not buying anything today, then we're not buying anything today. And that also gives you an out for those times when you decide that you do want to get him a little something today because, we don't want to be totally rigid about it. So I think the setting the limits beforehand, and I think parents, thinking about it beforehand as opposed to just reacting to the request in the moment can be really effective.
Yeah. And you do in the book, Donna B. Gates, talk, too, about helping parents understand why Valerie's child wants that toy and wants it now, different forces of materialism.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, probably one of the things that her six-year-old is dealing with is one of the forces that I call the mimic, which I think most parents can relate to, which is that kids feel as though they want to copy the kinds of things that they see their heroes on television using. So if their favorite cartoon hero has a certain toy, then they feel like, I have to have that toy as well. And I think that's a... and they also mimic their parents as well, so it's not just media. We can't just focus on that. But they mimic parents, they mimic relatives, friends, and so forth. So that's a really strong force that Valerie is talking about. And also, you had mentioned with the tweens and adolescents, and that's a force that I call the comparer, which is that, as kids start to reach that age, they start to compare, well, what are they wearing? What kinds of things do they have? Well, I have to have that same kind of thing. I have to have those jeans or those shoes or the iPod and so forth. And the tweens and teenagers are particularly vulnerable to that. But I also think kids who are lonely, who feel as though they need to use material items in order to make friends. There is a little boy that I worked with who brought a Game Boy to school thinking that kids would really like him, because he had this Game Boy. It was a young boy. And, yes, the other boys loved the Game Boy, but what ended up happening is that they all gathered around the Game Boy, and once again, he was outside the group. So the other problem with using materialism is that oftentimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, and there are others. The one that interested me too was the ho-hum, the bored child who just wants something because they're bored.
Yes, the humdrum ho-hum, which is that and again, a lot of these can apply to adults as well. But the fact that kids do get bored. I'm sure a lot of parents have heard their kids say, "Mom, I'm bored. There's nothing to do." And as kids get older, the humdrum ho-hum convinces them that, well, you're bored. Why don't you just go to the mall and buy a little something? You'll feel better. That'll be an exciting thing. And it does. Buying does give kids and adults a rush. There's that initial rush. The problem is that it's short-term and that in the long term, the boredom comes back or the loneliness comes back or whatever emotional issues you're dealing with, they come back. And so if you continue to use materialism, it becomes a cycle, a never-ending loop, a cycle where they're where kids begin to feel very discontented because it doesn't work in the long run.
Yeah, I like one of the anecdotes to that. Trying to get a hobby or an interest that that so the child won't be as bored.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a really interesting work by Professor Csikszentmihalyi, who's done research on something called flow. And flow is that experience you get when you're working on something, you think maybe 10 minutes has gone by, you look up at the clock and it's been 2 hours, you are so into it, it's something that you really love. You're not doing it because someone is paying you to do it or giving you a prize or a reward or anything like that, you just love it. And kids really need to find their flow. It was surprising to me that how many kids do not have hobbies or things that they really love to do. And I think that's something that parents can really help their children with. It should be something, you know, they don't even have to be, you know, the next Nadia Comaneci or anything like that. You know, it's just something that they enjoy. They don't have to be absolutely the best at it. They just need to really love it.
Yeah. Margaret in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'm a financial specialist at a credit union. I watch people who are materialistic max out the home equity, you know, all the time to get the $30,000 car that's way beyond their means. And I think this is an important subject because of that. It's our whole society, you know. These little people, you know, become people who don't, you know, spend within their means. But also I have two teenagers, freshman and a senior. All their lives we've kept up with the other kids by going to consignment shops. And they actually love to go up to their friends and say, you see this Hollister or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
I got it for $2, you know, or whatever. So they get a real kick out of that. And my kids also had the opportunity of living overseas for 7 years in countries like Indonesia, where we had beggars barefoot in the street and people missing. Yeah, I mean, you see everything there. And not every kid can do that, although in America there are places where you can, you know, see this type of thing. But that was invaluable to my 18 and 14-year-old. They'll never forget seeing people have absolutely nothing, and they very much appreciate everything they have.
I love that, and I think that's really important because what Margaret is talking about is giving your kids perspective. And actually, one of the parents in my book talked about the fact she took her kids back to India to visit, and she told them specifically, look at everyone doesn't live like you do in, you know, I happen to be in Silicon Valley. In Silicon Valley, you live the life of a princess compared to a lot of people in the world. And she had two children, a daughter and a son, and they came back, and it stuck. You know, and of course she reinforces this at home, but the kids have this broader perspective that they really are fortunate. You know, they don't have that sense of deprivation, that they don't have what, you know, everything that their friends have, because they understand that in the scheme of things they are really very lucky. So I love Margaret's example of providing her kids with perspective in that way.
I do too. Thanks, Margaret, for calling in. And Donna B. Gates, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Donna B. Gates is the author of I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with the executive producer of this and all of the talk shows you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, Cheryl Gasser. Hi, Cheryl.
Good morning again, Joy. Glad to be here on this first day of our winter pledge drive. And we have a goal this hour of $7,500. Mm-hmm. How are we doing?
We are at $1,310, $1,310 toward a $7,500 goal. Good start, but no cigars yet. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. I hope you will go to the phone and make a pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio. A pledge, of course, is a contribution of any amount. You decide what you can afford, what Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you, what you would like to give to Wisconsin Public Radio to help pay for this service. If it's $150 or more, we will send you, if you'd like it, the I Want It Now book that we just talked about. I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. How do we raise our children so they aren't little mini avid consumers and care about life and family and relationships and the world a little bit more than they might. I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World, yours for a pledge of $150 a year or more to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And maybe it's a book you want for yourself, or maybe you want to give it as a gift to someone who has a child that you think is a little too materialistic, too much of a kitty consumer. 1-800-383-9772. Pledge online as well at WPR.org. Think about what you've learned this hour. I know that I'm going to work harder to set a better example for my son, to focus more on meaning than on marketing. And I heard some great suggestions for his upcoming birthday in May. And so this hour alone, Wisconsin Public Radio really taught me something, gave me something to think about. And we do that for you day in, day out, hour after hour. That's worth something. If you're already a member, thank you so much for your support. We couldn't do it without you. But if you're not a member yet of Wisconsin Public Radio, this is a great time. And again, for a pledge of $150 or more per year, get the I Want It Now book as well as the member benefit card. 1-800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
You know, Cheryl, we also had a lot of great callers during that hour. Certainly some people who really wanted to do the right thing when it came to their children. The mother who had the six-year-old boy who was always nagging her for a toy every time they walked into a store and what should she do. So got some advice from Donna B. Gates on that, but also a listener who is really raising her children to try to not be so materialistic. They love going to secondhand shops and buying clothes at thrift stores and really enjoying the bargain that they get when they go to the thrift store.
What a great idea.
1-800-383-9772. Some really great, you are a great listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio would not be the service it is without you listening and maybe calling in. It also wouldn't be the service that it is without your financial support. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772 or pledge on the web at WPR.org. Still working toward that $7,500 goal. We need to hear from you, and we need, frankly, Cheryl, some generous pledges this hour in order to stay on track and make that goal this hour.
Any amount is welcome, and every pledge is appreciated and valued. If you would be interested in pledging at the $100 a month level, $1,200 a year would get you two tickets, limited tickets. We only have 25 pairs of these tickets for the Cruise of Ideas on Lake Monona in Madison on June 30th of this year. Joy will be there. I'll be there. Larry Mueller, Gene Faraca. There's food and drink and quizzes. We'll have dessert at Larry Mueller's house afterwards. Again, 25 pairs of tickets, yours. Two sets of the tickets, rather. One for you and one for companion for a pledge of $1,200 a year or more to WPR.org or 800-383-9772.
It's a very generous pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, the Cruise of Ideas, a way for us to say thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Every pledge is needed and appreciated at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your pledge of $150 a year or more will also get you the thank you gift, the book, I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World, and we'll throw in at that level the member benefit card as well. So the member benefit card, getting two-for-one entrees at restaurants all over Wisconsin, and this book that you might want to help in raising your own child or give away as a gift, I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World. 1-800-383-9772.
What you learn on Wisconsin Public Radio, what you hear, does make a difference in your daily life. Maybe our candidate forums helped you decide who to vote for in the recent Supreme Court election, or maybe during an hour like this, you're a smarter consumer and more informed because of what you heard, not only from our guest and from Joy, but from listeners and callers as well. That's worth something. It's worth a pledge of support. Help keep Wisconsin Public Radio going strong. We have a goal this hour, $7,500. We set these goals based on what we need to raise overall. We want Joy's show to do her part to keep Wisconsin Public Radio going strong. And the way we do that is with your phone call, call after call, pledge after pledge. 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org.
I really enjoy hosting this program every weekday morning, Cheryl, from 6 until 9. I love talking to really knowledgeable guests, really smart people with something to say or something that they've researched to help us understand the issues of the day better, to help us raise children better, to help us make a better choice at the voting booth. I hope that you get some value out of these programs every single day and are able to help pay for this kind of programming by making a pledge of any amount to 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or pledge on the web at WPR.org. Thanks, Roland in Heartland, who called in a pledge this hour. Roland says that he finds himself listening to the radio more and more in the morning, and he really enjoys it very much. So thank you very much, Roland. Roland says he's also a big fan of old-time radio. See, you can listen to programs all over the weekend and on the other network that we have. Your pledge helps pay for it all. 1-800-383-9772.
Wisconsin Public Radio really is a truly unique service. We're heard around the state 24 hours a day. We're available on the web. Joy's show alone brings you 15 hours of locally produced talk radio programs you can call into if the mood strikes you. We couldn't do what we do without you. Listener support is so important to the strength and the health, the vitality of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're asking for your support to help keep this service as strong as it is. 1-800-383-9772. Want to hear those phones ring? You can also pledge online at safe and secure, WPR.org.
If you are appreciative of all the political stuff we do, I certainly hope you will call in a pledge. I know you are appreciative of it. You wouldn't be listening to us right now. But we do a lot of topics, Cheryl, all sorts of things on education and health care and popular culture topics, things that are going on. We're going to be talking about the Oscars, the Academy Awards coming up. We'll lots of other interesting topics coming up in the days and weeks ahead, because life is more than just politics.
It absolutely is. So I've got a list here of some of the shows, Joy, that we've set for you for pledge. We're talking about how to manage your email. How many of us are overwhelmed with the email on Monday morning? We'll be talking about how to age well as we get older, how to make our life more meaningful, talking about the Oscars, talking about how to live well without owning a car, or how to drive your car less. More about food and what, you know, how to eat healthy, how to cook well for yourself. Wisconsin cafes, recipes from cafes around the state. Just a huge variety, as well as a ton of political coverage that we'll be having for you in the weeks and days to come. That is worth a pledge of support. 1-800-383-9772, the number to call. Pledge online at WPR.org. We have a goal this hour, a hefty goal, $7,500 to stay on track, to do our part. And we are right now, right around
We've crossed the $2,000 mark, $2,120. So that is very good. And thank you so much for calling in your pledge if you did this hour or if you went to the website, WPR.org. Very, very much appreciated, very much needed in order to pay the bills at Wisconsin Public Radio and to continue to bring you the programs, the service that you value. But $7,500 is the goal, and we still have, $5,000 to raise with only about 5 minutes to do it. It's going to be a big challenge to do that, but every pledge adds up. Your pledge is added to somebody else's pledge, and we can do it one pledge at a time. You can do it one pledge at a time. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Be as generous as you can. Would you like to go cruising with us in the summer on June 30th? Larry and Jean Faraca and I, Larry Mueller, Jean Faraca, I, Cheryl Gasser, will be there as well. $1,200, a $100 a month pledge. We will give you two tickets for this fun cruise coming up on June 30th. Would you like the book, I Want It Now, Navigating Childhood in a Materialistic World? It's yours for a pledge of $150. And we will throw in the member benefit card at that level as well. You decide how much to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, and please do it for the programming. But we would love to say thank you with these gifts as well. 1-800-383-9772.
1-800-383-9772. It takes just a couple minutes talking with a friendly volunteer. You tell them who you are, how much you'd like to contribute, and how you'd like to pay for it. You can also make your money go that much further if you pledge on the web. That actually saves us a little money, and it's quick, easy, safe, and secure, WPR.org. Just a minute or two left to go in this hour, but if you keep your calls coming through the news, let the volunteer know that you're pledging for Joy's 8 o'clock hour, that if you want the book, I Want It Now, that, along with the member benefit card, yours for a pledge of $150 or more per year.
Pledge for the variety of programming, pledge for the important and interesting topics and issues and ideas that we explore every morning here on the Ideas Network. Pledge because this is important to you to continue to hear these programs. Pledge any amount, 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Pledge because you understand that this is listener-supported radio, and Wisconsin Public Radio would not be able to be the service that it is without your support. 1-800-383-9772. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thanks for your support.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.